So understanding that the picture of our hearts being of stone, and so the law was written upon stone. But God wants to give us hearts of flesh. In other words, He wanted the law to come inside us. Right? That our hearts can be tender toward God. It's only through the revelation of Christ that anybody can find true repentance. It's only through faith, according to that, that anyone can find repentance. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. So he goes on to tell us, such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves. See, no one is. And this concerns grace and repentance. No one is competent to claim for themselves. Let me tell you something. Revelation doesn't come from the flesh up, including the need for a Savior, which is revelation. Revelation comes from heaven down, including the need for a Savior. And it's a fact that no one seeks a Savior if they don't see their need for one. The law was given to convict men of their need for a Savior, to show them that they were in sin. The law added the sacrifice to show that God would provide that salvation, that Savior. Amen? Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we're competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter of the law could only convict us of sin. It couldn't bring us life. God has brought us life now through His dear Son, Jesus. A new covenant through the sacrifice of Christ. Now, in understanding this, you see that the old covenant ruled the physical, but the new covenant is according to the Spirit. In fact, the revelation of the spiritual came only through Christ. And it's because of that that we can look back into the old covenant and see what was stored up in the old covenant that is spiritual and that was hidden from carnal minds. The revelation of God in that pattern of the physical. All right? So he tells us, now if the ministry that brought death, the law, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Now, we talked about this a little bit yesterday from 1 Corinthians 15. There's a difference between the glory that passes away and the glory that is surpassing. It used the sun and the moon. How many of you remember that? It used the sun and the moon as an example. The sun was a surpassing glory. It had life in itself. But the moon can only reflect glory. And so there was a difference in the splendor of the moon and the splendor of the sun. The sun is a big ball of gas. It's always burning. It's always a light. But the moon will only shine when the sun's shone on it. The moon could reflect light. And when the earth came between the sun and the moon grows dark. There's a difference between the picture of light and light itself, is the point. And there's a difference between those splendors. And this shows the physical and the spiritual. The physical can reflect the glory of God, but the true glory of God is Jesus Christ. There's a difference between a passing glory, flesh, and a surpassing glory, the resurrection. There's a difference, isn't there? One is eternal and one is temporary. And so we see here, in the face of Moses, that he wore, the law came with glory, that old covenant, and he wore a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing into that glory. But it wasn't just to keep them from gazing into that glory. It was to hide the fact that that glory was fading. You see, and that's the point. It is hidden from the carnal mind that the physical must end. The old covenant must end. It is a fading glory, just like the moon going behind the sun. It's a fading glory. There's a difference in these two splendors of one that doesn't fade ever and one that fades. The temporary and the eternal. So we say, now if the ministry that brought death was engraved which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses, because of his glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, see, that ministry prophesied that everything would pass away. It is a condemnation of everything that is seen, including flesh, right? It must pass away. If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? See, one is a figure and the other is the actuality. The passing glory testified to a glory that would never pass. In the same way the physical testifies to the spiritual, in the same way the old covenant testified of a new covenant. And how did the old covenant testify of a new covenant? By adding the sacrifice. You understand? That only through the sacrifice could a man find forgiveness of sins under the old covenant. And those sacrifices, the blood of animals, pictured a lamb that would come, that would deliver us eternally, didn't it? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. They think this thing is going to go on forever. They think the physical will go on forever. They think that's the reality. You know, we had someone here that came into our study the other day, was saying that the purpose of God was to restore Adam to his sinless state, to restore us to the sinless state of Adam. But that's not God's purpose, is it? God's purpose is to bring us to the state of Christ, not Adam. And this was God's purpose from the beginning. This is why the Lamb was considered slain from the foundation of the world. So we're not going back to a glory that fades. It's not eternal. We're going to a surpassing glory that never fades. And this is the difference between the physical and the spiritual and the covenants that govern them. The law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life. There's two different covenants here. Two different laws. So since we have such a hope, that surpassing glory, we're very bold. We're not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. And you can see that's what was hiding, that veil. The fact that everything must pass away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Only through Christ can you see the spiritual. Only through Christ can you really receive a Savior. Only through Christ can you really find true repentance. Only in Christ is this veil taken away. No one seeks a Savior if they don't think they need one. And if you think that the physical will go on. And this is what the vanity of youth was all about. Young people think that they're indestructible. It's not until they get older that they start to see, ooh, there's an end to this thing. That they really begin to realize it. And that they begin to see they have a need. As long as the physical is strong, people don't look for anything more than that. People did not seek a Savior. You've got to understand this. So it says, even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the Word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. If the truth of this gospel is hidden, it's hidden to those who are carnally minded, right? Those who are perishing. Those who are under condemnation. He who has the Son is not condemned, but he who has not the Son is condemned already. And it tells us the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Now, if you cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, do you seek after repentance by your nature? No. That nature doesn't seek repentance. It's only through the revelation, that veil being taken away through Christ. And this is the point. So it goes on to say, they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God said, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And that's that deposit of the Holy Spirit coming to live in you when you receive what God has offered. So we have this treasure, the Holy Spirit, in jars of clay, this body. This body that's going to pass away, right? To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from ourselves. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. And here's the interesting part, and it makes this point to you. Hard-pressed on every side is on the outside. Not crushed is on the inside, the eternal, the Spirit. You see that? We're hard-pressed on every side, that's the outside, but not crushed, the inside. Perplexed, that's on the outside, but not in despair, that's on the inside. Persecuted, that's on the outside, but not abandoned, not abandoned on the inside. The Holy Spirit's there, remember? Struck down, the body, this body destroyed, but not destroyed. Not destroyed is on the inside. You get it? It's making this point between the outside and the inside. Between what passes away and what doesn't. Between what is eternal and what is temporary. So we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. As Jesus died, we must share in His death. This body must die. Right? It must pass away. Right? We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus. So that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. The promise of the resurrection. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. As Jesus died, the body of Christ must die, right? Be laid down to death. So that this life may be revealed in our mortal body. The promise of the resurrection. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. He's trying to say, on the outside, death is at work in us, those of us being put to death for Christ's sake. But life is being worked in you, those who hear this message. Those who enter in. It's about the eternity. As it is written, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. And with the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. Quickening our mortal bodies to life, right? And present us with you in His presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Everything physical must pass away, including this body. Yet inwardly, we're being renewed by day. Remember, we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Right? Yet inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, the things that pass away, but what is unseen, the eternal things. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, and we base our faith on what is not seen. We base our faith on what cannot be seen, the eternal. We base our faith upon the surpassing glory and not the passing one. We base our faith according to a new covenant and not an old covenant that governs what passes away. And all those who think that this is the real life in this flesh on the outside, that all those who think this is what life is about, And all those who think the gospel is just about restoring that life have missed the whole point. They have yet to hear the purity of the gospel. It is a fact that the physical comes first to testify to what comes next, and it must be destroyed so that what comes next can take its place. It must pass away. Now, we can see this, and let me leave with this. Remember what John the Baptist said. John pictures the old covenant, and Jesus pictures the new covenant. John pictures Adam under that old covenant, but Jesus the new covenant. Because Adam is a forerunner of Christ, just like the old man is a forerunner of the new man, just like John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus in that way. When we talk about John, remember what he said in John 3. I'm from below, and I testify as one from below of the earth. But he is from above, and the one that's from above is above all. He says, I come first baptizing you with water, but there's one who comes after me that's preferred before me. Get it? The last will be first, the first will be last. I come first baptizing you with water, but there's one preferred before me that comes after me, and he'll baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. John came to testify to what comes next, Jesus. And what happened when Jesus arrived? What happened when Jesus arrived? John was put to death. John's ministry ended. And it just as he testified, I must decrease and he must increase. I must pass away. And you see the pattern of God over and over and expressed in this way. And when we talk about John the Baptist, when Jesus said, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A man in soft clothes? Truly only those in soft clothes, you know, live in king's houses. What, a reed shaken by the wind? A prophet? Yea, more than a prophet. And he goes on to say, but of John the Baptist, there was no greater born of a woman than John the Baptist. In other words, according to the flesh. There's no man, greater man born according to the flesh. He's about the best you can get. But even he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now compare that with what John said. I'm from below, and I speak as one from below. But he that is from above is above all. And John 1 tells us now that we are born from above. Those of us who have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, who are not born according to the will of a husband, or the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but according to God. And we have been given His Spirit to be partakers of that divine nature. The eternal. We are born from above. We are members of the kingdom of heaven. As Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He will remain blind. He will remain in this flesh and think it's all about this flesh. Because he's cut off from the spiritual. Only through Christ is the revelation of the spiritual and the eternal does that come. The physical was only to picture that. The physical comes first to testify to what comes next. And when what comes next gets here, the physical is done away with. And this shows us where we should be building our lives. All of this is the pattern of God. It's over and over and over throughout the Scriptures. This is why in every set of brothers, the first one was rejected, the second one accepted. Cain and Abel. Cain's the flesh, Abel's the spirit. Cain came first, Abel came second. And the child of the flesh persecutes the child of the spirit. Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael came first, according to the working of the flesh. But Isaac came about by God keeping His promise. Isaac is a picture of the spirit. Ishmael the flesh. Perez and Zerah. Zerah may have put his hand out first, but he shrunk back. And God said, I'll not take pleasure in my Holy One if he shrinks back. He that puts his hand to the plow and pulls back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And that's the flesh. Zerah came first, and he pulled his hand back into the womb. But Perez divided the womb, came all the way out. He burst forth, as you must burst forth in faith. Go for the gusto. Now, there's a promise for the redemption. Remember, the last will be first, but the first will be last. It will be redeemed. But the physical can only be redeemed through the Spirit. The Spirit isn't redeemed through the physical. And that's why the scarlet line was attached to Zerah. Though he's marked as first, he's redeemed last. Though your body came first, it is redeemed last. Though the Jew came first, he's redeemed last. Body and spirit, one new man. Jew and Gentile, one new man. It's the same pattern. The things of the physical are reconciled through Christ, not through Adam. And we see this pattern over and over, don't we? Jacob and Esau. Jacob was second, but considered first. It's he who got the birthright, and it's he who got the blessing, though he came second. And God's purpose in election is according to the Spirit. This is the pattern of God. All of this tells you over and over again throughout these scriptures. The pattern of God is all about this. And if you really want to understand the gospel, this is where you got to start. Because the physical, the things you see, must pass away. And this will give you an eternal perspective so that you will walk by what you do not see instead of counting on what it is you see. Because you'll know the truth. And that truth will set you free. Amen? That's a good place to stop.